Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to our presentation of INWIT 2015 preliminary financial result and 2016-18 business plan. For this reason, our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Oscar Cecchetti, and our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Raffaele Terrino, will give you an update of our operating and financial profile year to date. The presentation will be followed by a Q&A session. Please do take note of our disclaimer policy you should now be able to see on slide one. Let me introduce Mr. Cecchetti, who will guide you through the key stream of our growth strategy, revenue, efficiency, and the leitmotiv of the plan, innovation. And then Mr. Raffaele Terrino will comment on the year-to-date result. To you, Oscar.
Thank you, Michele. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for your participation. As I said during our last conference call, we were and we still are ready to do better. Indeed, the 2015 preliminary results for the first 9 months of operations are ahead of what we promised during the IPO. We are in line with the future, and this can become our motto for the year. The good performance, both in the top line and OPEX, gives us the strength to draft a very ambitious yet achievable 2016-2018 business plan. I would say that our three-year plan, consistently with our growth strategy, is characterized by the continuation of our positive trends and a number of value-enhancing actions while maintaining the highest degree of financial discipline and maximizing returns to our shareholders. We are strongly committed to maintaining our leadership in the domestic market, and we do believe we are in the best possible position to benefit from the evolution of the mobile technology. Let me show you the main highlights of our 9 months result from April to December 2015. Slide number four. First, top-line figures show a good performance with respect to last year revenues. As a matter of fact, revenues from April to December amounted to 239.2 million euro, or if you prefer, 318.9 million euro on an annualized basis, of which 8% come from MSA with Telecom Italia that guarantees a buffer of stable turnover over the coming years. We recorded a significant increase in third-party proceeds with a plus 12% with respect to last year figures, that's to say 9 months of OLOS revenues prior to the transfer. This growth has been mainly the result of an increase in the co-tenancy ratio. Therefore, on slide number five, you can see some data on our revenue growth. First, new tenants. In 2015, 800 new tenants were added to our portfolio, bringing the tenancy ratio to 1.62, a top-notch result with respect to last year when, if you remember, the tenancy ratio settled at 1.55, and well on track with our objective of 1.9 in 2018. Additional new tenants come from the MSA obligations undertaken by Telecom Italia and our go-to-market. We have already signed a number of contracts with mobile operator and other players that become operational in 2016. Then new sites. The impact of new sites in 2015 has been very limited, yet we secured 75 orders for new sites. Some of them were deployed before year-end and the remaining in 2016. The rolling out of sites is carried out upon request of our clients, mainly Telecom Italia, yet many of these sites already have additional tenants. So, all in all, we estimate an annualized impact of about 6.9 million from already successfully implemented actions, 5.4 million from new third-party tenants and 1.5 million from already secured new sites. Let's move to the other element of our growing profitability story, efficiency. The next two slides illustrate the efficiencies and how well on track we are. The total OPEX for 9-month period amounts to 131 million or 174.7 million on an annualized basis, recording a reduction with respect to the last year pro forma figures that you can read on the slide. Significant improvements have been achieved on lease costs, with a 6% decrease year-on-year, a marked reduction due to the combined effect of decommissioning and renegotiation of ground lease costs. We committed to tightly keeping all the other OPEX under control, and we were successful. Let's now describe the above-mentioned efficiency driver. Slide number 7. On this slide, we offer a zoom-in on ground lease savings, more specifically analyzing the two pillars that contributed to this significant reduction. On the left, you see the decommissioning plan as per our agreement with Telecom Italia. A total of approximately 445 sites, of which approximately under 30 have been considered marketable, and we are already looking for new tenants. Approximately 250 were decommissioned but not yet dismantled. The dismantling process is underway and will be over in the first half of 2016. Let me just remind you that the decommissioning process takes from 8 to 10 months, including notice to landlord and dismantling works. 65 sites have already been dismantled, which means no more OPEX and no assets in our books. We estimate the overall impact of the 65 sites already dismantled to be 0.7 million euro on an annualized basis. Moving to the right side of the slide, you see the data about our renegotiation of ground lease contracts, which shows the following results. Approximately 2 every 3 targeted contracts have been successfully renegotiated in 2015, with savings in the range of 20% that slightly declined in the last quarter. Meaningful and durable savings worth 6.4 million, always on an annualized basis. Now, next slide provides an update of our small cell projects. Slide number 8. As announced in the IPO and in the previous quarter, we do believe that in the long term, small cell are one of the most promising engines for the value growth, and we are satisfied about what we have been achieved so far. Market estimates are bullish on this new technology, which is expected to grow at a CAGR of approximately 30% over the next 6 years. To date, we have secured 5 locations. 2 of them, Bologna Arcades and Torino Airport, are already up and running. And as you will see in the next slides, we are fully committed to continue to exploit such opportunity. Needless to say that there is an interest from the mobile operator that seem to be keen to join our small cell network. This translates into an expected average tenancy ratio for our 5 locations in excess of 2. Our strategy is to fully integrate the new services into INWIT's offer. So to recap, INWIT achieved good preliminary financial results for the 9-month period, recording revenue growth and long-term efficiencies, and will keep on working hard to maintain the same pace of growth in the coming years. Now I leave the floor to Rafael Perrino, who will give you more details on the 2015 results. Rafael.
Thank you. To you all. Just to give you a flavor of our preliminary results, revenues of 239.2 million from April to December, which correspond to 318 0.9 million on an annualized basis. So we recorded a good top line performance with an increase of 1.6% versus 2014 pro forma figures. EBITDA of 108.2 million increased by 7.2% versus 2014 pro forma data, with a value of 45.2%. In 2015, we have been able to improve our EBITDA margin by more than 200 basis points versus 2014 pro forma EBITDA margin. Even more so if you consider that during the fourth quarter, our EBITDA margin was equal to 46.1%. Strong growth recorded at the EBITDA level is primarily due to the combined effect of OLOS revenues increase and OPEX efficiencies, primarily related to ground lease cost reduction. The chart underneath displays the quarterly evolution of revenues, OPEX and EBITDA, and shows our dedication to cost containment and well-driven revenue growth. Top-line growth is primarily associated with the increase in tenancy ratio, which, as Oscar anticipated earlier, stands at 1.62 times as of December 2015. This result was achieved thanks to the increase recorded in the number of tenants other than Telecom Italia in the last 9 months of 2015. On top of this, I would like to remind you that we remain fully committed to identifying new avenues of growth, as proven by the recent acquisition of 76 sites and the launch of 3 additional small cells projects, which bring the total number of small cells projects to 5. We strongly believe that there are a number of attractive top-line growth opportunities ahead of us. Oscar will elaborate further on this in the following section. Cost-wise, we are benefiting from the lease contract renegotiations as well as from the contractualized decommissioning program signed with the TI as per the MSA. All of this is reflected in the positive trend of EBITDA margin. Let's focus on EBITDA, moving to the next slide. It's worth mentioning that the 9-month EBITDA is above the 103.3 million targeted at the time of the IPO. As a matter of fact, this slide highlights the outperformance at EBITDA level with the growing margin quarter on quarter, which achieved 46.1% in the fourth quarter of 2015. Revenue increased by 4.9 million euros on an annualized basis, with OPEX down by 4.7 million, resulting in an EBITDA increase of 9.7 million. Let's move to next slide and look at CapEx and cash flow generation. We have continued our investment plan as per our budget. I wish it to stress that 12.5 million CapEx include extraordinary maintenance for 2.6 million, investment associated with the land acquisition and small cell projects for about 5 million, new sites for about 1.8 million, and startup CapEx for about 3.1 million. This led to an operating free cash flow of 95.7 million, which implies a cash conversion of 88.4%, fully in line with the industry-leading cash conversion rates. At the year-end, the net debt amounted to 48.1 million, with a deleverage of more than 70 million versus April 2015 net debt, leading to a net debt EBITDA ratio of about 0.4 times. I also would like to remind you that we are still benefiting from a tax payment deferral since INWIT is a newly incorporated company. This ratio gives us room for expansion and provides us with the highest level of flexibility to push a new value-enhancing action and a creative M&A. Oscar?
Thank you, Rafael. Now, in the next few slides, I will walk you through our 2016-2018 business plan. Let me say a few words before starting. This business plan sets the key pillars for the next 3 years of INWIT, continuing the positive trends recorded in 2015, and on top of it, adding several value-enhancing actions which will continue to strengthen our market and technology leadership in the tower sector. Furthermore, this plan is fully in line with the financial diligence and discipline which have been the foundations of our equity story since the very beginning. Slide number four, slide number 14. With that in mind, in this slide, you can see the main components of our business plan. Two pillars refer to the organic business and do not differ from what we are already doing today. First, the maximization of hosting revenues through an appropriate execution of the agreement with Telecom Italia, an appropriate marketing of our services towards mobile network operators and other players, and the capture of all the build-to-suit opportunities. The second pillar is related to our focus on operational efficiency, where we plan to keep our targets through decommissioning, ground lease contract renegotiations, and land acquisition, which we started in the fourth quarter of 2015 and confirms to be strongly value accretive. The third pillar of our strategy includes new actions that will bring value in the long term, such as the deployment of small cell. In this respect, we confirm our goal to become a next generation wireless infrastructure provider and a key player in 5G mobile networks. Slide 15. Looking at the organic business, let's now focus on hosting revenues, which are expected to grow annually thanks to two main revenue uplifts. First, the contractualized revenues from Telecom Italia, which will grow because of inflation, we recover 100% of the inflation, and the proceeds from new rolled out sites. Second, we expect a revenue growth from new tenants, which we presume will be 9,000 by 2018. Indeed, just the new tenants TI committed to move to our sites should contribute with additional 12 million revenues on an annualized basis. On top of this, we expect a good contribution from our marketing efforts, already yielding promising results. Let's turn to slide 16 and talk about efficiency. To carry out our efficiency plan consistently with our ongoing program, we leverage on site decommissioning and renegotiation of ground lease contracts. As for decommissioning, we have about 1,000 sites to be decommissioned during the plan, implying a lease cost reduction of more than 10%, which is de facto guaranteed by the MSA with Telecom Italia. The renegotiations of ground lease contracts in the form of pure renegotiation or cash advance will bring in additional savings in line with what was achieved this year. Overall, we have good reasons to expect to land at a ground lease cost well below 100 million at the end of the plan, including additional savings from land acquisitions, which I'm about to illustrate in the next slides. No cost increase for contract renewals, no increase linked to inflation, and no sublease increase. That's why we are accelerating our land acquisition program. This program brings in a very compelling financial return, which lies in our ability to purchase land on favorable terms with respect to our cost of capital. We will only pursue investment for cost-effective sites that guarantee a double-digit internal rate of return over 20 years in order to preserve our financial discipline and generate real value for our shareholder. Over the planned period, we aim to purchase over 15% of sites in scope. That's to say, about 1,500 parcels of land or long-term right of usage for rooftops. Having spoken about the organic business, I can now move to the next slides and talk about the future actions. Why small cell? Because the market is large and attractive. Small cells are needed in the high data traffic areas to reduce traffic density on macro cells. Thus, the deployment of small cell is the future of mobile networks, of 5G networks. In our business plan, we assume to catch a high single-digit market share for small cell with a plan to connect over 80 locations by 2018 and over 500 locations by 2025. We are interested in small cell for two main reasons. First, because the project is remunerative, the expected EBITDA margin is in excess of 50%, and secondly, because small cells represent the natural evolution of our business model. I do believe that future tower costs will not just be passive infrastructure providers, but more in general, providers of services that operators will be willing to share among them. In the next slides, I will comment our investment program. For revenue-enhancing plans, we count on small M&A transactions where fundamentals justify the price. In the first days of 2016, we finalized the acquisition of 76 new towers from three small tower companies, and we paid 8x the EBITDA. New sites, for which we budgeted about 15 million over the next 3 years, the rollout plan will entail both the dismantling of high cash-consuming sites and new sites commissioned by Telecom Italia and by other operators. Small cells, in continuation with our strategy, we will be investing more than 20 million in small cells networks. As to the action to enhance profitability, we will count on the contribution of the land acquisition program, for which we budgeted extraordinary investment for about 100 million of the next 3 years. It's worth mentioning that the total investment budgeted implies an additional 0.3x leverage on cumulative EBITDA over the planned period. To sum up, our investments are devoted to enhance both revenues and profitability. In the next slides, I can summarize our projections for the plan and our guidance. By 2018, we expect to reach a 1.9 tenancy ratio on our network and EBITDA to grow at high single-digit CAGR during the period. This will dictate my commitment for a generous dividend distribution. Indeed, I intend to file with the board of directors and subject to the shareholders' meeting approval to remunerate our shareholders with a payout of 90% of 2015 net income. On top of that, as we said, we remain open to consider special distribution policies in order to optimize our capital structure in absence of M&A transaction. I would dedicate the last slide by looking beyond the planned period. Our mission remains unchanged, as we will continue to be the Italian leading tower company. Secondly, we firmly restate our commitment to maintain superior profitability, high cash flow generation, and attractive distribution policies. Plus, we are investing in a future-proof network, and we believe we are best placed to capture future opportunities like small cell. We do believe that whatever combination of assets and company could happen in Italy, INWIT remains the cornerstone of the consolidation of the Italian market. The regulation. A possible evolution of the regulations that has not been accounted for in our projection would accelerate our business plan by considerably boosting our tenancy ratio. And last, if appropriate and value-enhancing, we will be considering acquisitions, mainly in Italy and very, very carefully abroad. With this, we can really repeat our motto. We can say that we are in line with the future. Thank you very much, and back to Michele.
Oscar, Rafa, thank you. And now we can open the Q&A session.
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question by dialing star followed by 1. To cancel your reservation, dial star followed by 2. First today's question comes from Mr. Fabio Pavan of Mediobanca. Mr. Pavan, please.
Okay, thank you. First of all, congratulations for the results and the business plan target. I have a couple of questions. First of all, if I may, would ask for some more color on the two corner points, small cells and land acquisition. Could you provide some more color on the evolution of the contribution we should expect by the three-year time period, in particular for land acquisition? Which kind of relevance we should expect starting from next year, for instance. A second point, as you were mentioning in your last slide, the option of being the corner store for consolidation. And last week we got a concrete comment from the government on towers consolidation. If I may, Oscar, what's your view on the recent statement from the government? You see that the Italian government seems to be more open right now to have consolidation, maybe because they do realize that this is an important infrastructure for our country. Thank you.
Thank you, Fabio. Small cells. Small cell, as I was explaining, is for us the opportunity to build up our future revenue stream. Here we tried, as you know, we started by implementing some location, but now we adopted for the next 3 years a specific plan. Our plan is to, as I was saying, to build up something close to something more than 70 locations. this is not a big number if you consider that we have already signed contracts for 5 locations. We do believe that the future of this business, the future, let's say, value driver for this business is the ability to get before the other the right locations. So we made an appropriate clustering of the locations, talking with the operator and looking at the our experience in the in the Italian regions. Now we believe that this is something that starts to happen. As I was simply highlighting in my presentation, the first reactions from the mobile operator is positive. When we present our project and we say we propose our value, do you want to improve your coverage in some, let's say, strategic locations like the center of Bologna, the airport of Torino, the campus of Politecnico di Torino, and so on? They they have a good reactions. So this is giving me very, very positive feeling about the possibility to be present in this business. We have already had in the past the opportunity to discuss about the technological issues that are in this business, because small cell for the time being means distributed antenna systems. In the future, the LTE, the 4G small cell, could become a reality, and in that sense, perhaps we could be called to change our business model. But what's relevant to say is that we are here, we understood the market. I think that we proved to ourselves that we are able to catch this opportunity, and we will continue to do that. The second is land acquisition. As I was saying, what we are doing is something that the American Tower Cos have already been doing in the past. So to change the ownership of lands and rooftops. This is something that is quite new in Italy. It's something that we started just in the fourth quarter. At the beginning, the reaction was positive because we concluded 80, more than 80 contracts, taking into account land acquisition and long-term right of usage, but mainly land acquisition because it's simpler. Our investment policy that is encapsulated in the double-digit IRR in 20 years' time, are bringing us to pay maximum 7 times the annual fee that we are paying. This translates into this number. The first feedbacks that we are gathering from the landlord seem to be positive, and this is the reason why we became more ambitious and we put this relevant CAPEX challenge in our plan. The devil's in details, and so of course now we have to check and cross-check our ability to continue to be able to buy lands at those conditions. The second question about the statement by the minister, I don't know, I cannot interpret it, because to some extent you're right, he said something that is very welcome, that consolidation is something positive. But on the other hand, he was talking about public control, I don't know, I do not have enough elements to comment what the minister said.
Thank you very much.
Next question. question comes from Mr. Domenico Ghilotti of Equita. Mr. Ghilotti, please.
Good afternoon. My first question is on the land acquisition targets. I would like to understand if you see a front or back-end loaded program, so if you are ready to execute, let's say, one-third of the 100 million capex expected. What is the assumption in your 100 million in terms of price to be paid, if you see the risk of price pressure, or if you are assuming the 8x EBITDA that you were mentioning before? And if you can comment a little bit more on the recent deal on the land, just as a case study, let's say. So if you have been buying new sites, or if you have been buying the land of existing sites where you are already present, so just passive leases.
Thank you. The first, again, about the land acquisition and acquisition of a long-term right of usage for rooftop, this is a challenge. We do believe that with our current policies that are translated into this objective to have a double-digit IRR for the investment in 20 years, that translates into, let's say, a multiple of 7x the annual fee that we are paying. I consider this is an ambitious plan. Our experience is that we have invested in the last months of 2015, and we have been able to buy 82 lands and rooftops, so we feel comfortable that we can accelerate. So including 100 million of capex in our 3-year plan is a challenge for sure, but is a challenge that has a relevant impact on our expected EBITDA. And for this reason, we will pursue this objective with a full commitment. The example of the acquisition that we did in January of three companies, I think that in those acquisitions, the drivers are very clear. First, the price. We believe that 8x the EBITDA is absolutely a right price. Second, of course, is how secured are the revenues coming from the operators. So more than 70% of the revenues of those three companies that we bought were coming from INWIT. So to that extent, for us, let's say that 70% of the saved EBITDA are secured by the fact that we were paying this amount of money. So with those two criteria in mind, we will continue to follow. We write down with an opportunistic approach. We don't want, let's say, to increase the fever on the market for those small tower operators. We do believe that some good opportunities can come, and we will monitor and manage them very, very carefully.
And just a follow-up, comparing the rooftop IRU purchase compared to the land for rural towers, there is any difference in terms of accretion, so attractiveness of the deal?
No, I think that from... thank you for this question, because the two schemes for the acquisitions deliver the same value for us. The problem of rooftops is that the only possibility is to sign long-term right of usage. Those contracts are more complicated and are not easy to be concluded considering the quality of the counterparts. Mm-hmm. So our forecast is that the majority of our acquisition will be lands, and the minority will be long-term right of usage of rooftops.
Okay, and the last question is related on the small cell project, in particular on the five locations already secure. What is the visibility in terms of contract duration? So how long is the contract, the passive contract that I think you have to sign with the landlords and with the manager of the area? And what is your assumption in terms of tenants that you are able to put in your remote units?
Let me start from the last point. The multi-operator small cell as a service, have a good business sense if we were able to get more than two tenants per location. The business plan that we built up continue to be based on a price for remote units. But the price schemes that we will be applying in the coming years will be based more on location than on single remote unit. So the value proposition for the operator is: do you want to better serve your customer in the airport of Torino? Okay, I'm here. Without taking into account how many radiation points I will put on the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, the agreements with the landlords usually are the typical leasing agreement, so 6 plus 6 years. What we are looking for, but we just sometimes succeed in obtaining, is the exclusivity. So our first proposal is to get exclusivity for the radio coverage. So that's to say that our agreement is the unique agreement with the landlord, and the operator, the only alternative for the operator is to use our staff.
This is you said just one out of the five was
no.
An exclusive agreement.
No. In these times, we have three exclusive agreements.
Ah, okay, three.
Three exclusive agreements and two with without this exclusivity clause.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Jonathan Dunn of Royal Bank of Canada. Mr. Dunn, please. Mr. Dunn is not connected. I have no reservations at the moment. Next question comes from Mr. Matteo Bertele of Fidentiis. Mr. Bertele, please.
Hello. Hi. Good evening, everybody. I'm just starting to cover the stock, so I'm not 100% sure if you have already, let's say, speak about that. If from one side is pretty much clear from me, the capex that you are, let's say, you want to do on a small cell, it's not clear for me the let's say the sales and the marginality of this sector. I mean, if you are speaking about 20 million euros of capex in the next three years, what should how we can model the sales and what's the EBITDA margin of this kind of project?
Thank you. The assumption on the marginality, let me start from that, is that we should be able, medium term, I hope even shorter, to get a marginality higher than 50%. This is something that is already happening in the countries where small cell have been already deployed. So the U.S. operators many times say that the marginality coming from small cell is well higher than 50%, thanks to the fact that in the small cell as a service, usually the tower co-provide not only passive infrastructures, but also active element like distributed antenna system and backhauling, that is one of the, let's say, booster of the marginality. So our plan is to reach more than 50% by 2020 and to have, let's say, even in 2020, the contribution on our overall revenues coming from small cell around 4%. The reason why we targeted 2020 and not 2018 is that we should consider that with just 80 locations covered, we are at the beginning of this growth.
Okay, thank you. Next question comes from Ms. Carola Bardelli of Deutsche Bank. Ms. Bardelli, please.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you very much. I was wondering if the guidance of a high single-digit growth in EBITDA is already reflecting what you could have in terms of benefit from the investments in land acquisition, or if we should see that on top of the high single-digit growth. The reason why I'm asking is because I think the consensus is already on a double-digit growth expected for EBITDA, so just a little bit of clarification there would be really helpful. And then I was wondering any color you could give us on a potential combination with A-Towers and the potential synergies there would be really helpful, considering that the press is speaking of an offer being made to Telecom Italia on by A-Tower. So any comment on that would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Michaela. Of course, the guidance includes everything, includes all the investment, all the actions that we put in our plan. Then, Carola, I have to say that, of course, we do believe that this is, let's say, the right guidance that we can deliver. We are, and we will be absolutely ready to do better. The second question is about the combination. We have been talking many times about the potential combinations, and I think that from the, let's say, industrial point of view, I want to stress two elements. First, INWIT, for a lot of reasons, is the cornerstone of the consolidation in the Italian market for a lot of reasons, because of the quality of the assets, because of the number of the towers, because of the level of co-tenancy, and so on. Second, if we have to take into consideration the benefits of the potential combination, there is just one, let's say, guideline. The synergies are proportional to the number of towers that you have in your scope, in your perimeter. So to that extent, whatever telecom tower we can add on our portfolio can boost our value and our synergy. So if we were able to add 1,000 towers, we could be able to generate synergies for those 1,000. If we were able to buy the Hutch towers, as we were commenting many times, we could be able to generate synergies taking into account the 8,000 towers of Hutch. If we had to combine with Cellnex, we can extract value by putting together our 11,500 towers with the more than 8,000 towers owned by Cellnex. It's just a matter of size.
Okay, thank you. Very clear. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Mark Murphy of Macquarie. Mr. Murphy, please.
Hi there, team. Thanks for taking the time for the question and congrats on what looks like a good set of results. My question is just, it's probably quite a simple one. On your small cell margin for 2020, you're highlighting, you've kind of commented on this already, you're highlighting just above 50%. I was kind of thinking it might be higher than this given some of the industry averages we have and some of the data would be above 65, even 70% margin. And I was wondering if 50% is really a cautious outlook or is this really just driven by the fact your scale and small cells will probably be quite small come 2020. And then secondly, just on your decommissioning plan, you're very marginally behind your FY15 target. And then I see you've highlighted just greater than 1,000 sites by 2018 in some of your projections. Having already guided 1.4k, should we be rethinking our numbers in terms of the overall level of decommissioning, or is this just a little bit too much attention to detail by me?
thank you. You are absolutely right. The standard marginality on small cell is well higher than 50%. The reason why we are considering generally speaking, just a number that is higher than 50% is because we are in the early stage of this development. So the marginality will be driven by the number of remote units per small cell, by the quality of the location, and by the number of tenants per site, of tenants per location. So our assumption is that in our plan, we start from few remote units, with two tenants per small cell, and then we will be growing. I feel confident that this is, as you were saying, a cautious forecast. This is the only that we can deliver, but you are right. We are absolutely aware that the standard marginality is well higher than 50%. As far as the decommission is concerned, no, we are not reviewing our plan because the plan of 1,400 decommissioned sites is an obligation undertaken by Telecom Italia. The only point is that when we receive the name of sites that Telecom Italia wants to decommission, at that point, we make an analysis. The analysis says that, for instance, let's consider the 445 sites that Telecom Italia has been decommissioning in 2015. What we decided is to take out under 30 of those sites that we consider, for the time being, marketable. This means that at the beginning, we feel comfortable that on those sites, instead of stopping paying the lease, we can get new tenants and generate more revenues than the lease fee. So for the time being, we did not consider the dismantling for those 130 sites. On the other hand, we decided to dismantle 315 sites. 16.5 have been already dismantled. This means no OPEX and no asset. 250 are in the process. I was reminding you that the commissioning and dismantling process usually takes from 8 to 10 months, considering the notice to the landlord, the dismantling work, and so on. Every month, we carefully monitor the 130 so-called marketable sites, so sites without Telecom Italia, and that we decide not to dismantle. Because if what we assumed confirmed that could happen, we will keep those sites, those assets, we continue to generate revenues. In case it was a wrong assumption, we immediately pass those sites from the marketable to the decommissioned. So let's say it's a sort of buffer where we put temporarily the sites where we believe that we can get better opportunity in exchange of dismantling. But it's exactly a buffer. We put the sites in this buffer for a while, and then we'll check and cross-check every month if we have been able to generate new tenants and new revenues.
That's very clear. Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Simon Coles of Barclays. Mr. Coles, please.
Hi, Simon Coles from Barclays. Thanks for taking the questions and congrats on the results. I just have a question on the land acquisition. I know you said in previous results that you have a lot of negotiations ongoing. I was just wondering how we should think about the 100 million over the next 3 years. Is that quite front-loaded because you're already negotiating a lot of contracts, or should we think that it's going to be spread out evenly over the 3 years?
Of course, what let's say that our track record is very limited to justify this big challenge of 100 million of capex, because we have been investing in 2015 around 5 million in land acquisition, and we acquired 82 lands. So it's a small experience to justify, let's say, a sort of a confidence to be able to deliver this big plan. We believe that is relevant. We believe that we have the opportunity. We believe that is relevant. We want to challenge ourselves in these new initiatives. As I was saying, the reasons why we do believe that acquisition is accretive is, of course, in terms of economical impact, so the IRR on those investments. But also there are hidden advantages. First, no increase in contract renewals, no increase related to the inflation, and very important, no increase in case of sublease. So consider that in many of our sites, if we want to put in some of our sites, it's 25% more or less, if we want to add new tenants, we have to ask the permission of the landlord. So if we were able to buy the site, to buy the land, so the long-term right of usage, we will not have any difficulty in the renewals. We will shortcut the Istat inflation increase more important, we have not to ask any permits if we want to put new tenants on the site. So it's a challenging plan. The reason why we say that is a 3 years plan, because we will do our best in order to get, let's say, the maximum we can get every year. But I think that this is a value creation initiative that we want to pursue.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. Very clear.
Next question comes from Miss Antonella Frongillo of Banca IMI. Miss Frongillo, please.
Good evening. I have just a follow-up question on the land acquisitions. From your guidance, I understand that you are assuming around 1,000 contracts with an average annual fee of 14,000 euro. So it should imply 40 million euro savings over the 3 year, or more or less, which would be on top of the savings from the commissioning. So I don't understand why are you are guiding a high single digit EBITDA considering this target in terms of land acquisitions.
Sorry, I didn't push the button of the microphone. I will restart from the beginning. First, I say the thank you, Antonella. Second, I was commenting that we have to review the maths, because our plan is to invest 100 million. We were debating before about, let's say, the difficulties we are dealing with in proposing long-term right of usage for rooftops. And so the majority of the acquisitions will be given by lands. So as far as the lands are concerned, our average fee is lower than 14,000, is close to 10,000 per year. So if you put all those maths together, you can see that our forecast to land at the end of the plan with an amount of money for third-party lease well below 100 million is the right assumption.
Hello?
Sì, yeah.
I was assuming a 14,000 annual fee starting from the indication that you gave on slightly less than 100 euro K per site, and I compared that with the seven time acquisition multiple, so that was my assumption. So should we assume 10,000 as an average annual fee in terms of savings?
Yes, the number of 10 is not because we changed our numbers. It's because the majority of the acquisitions will be given by lands and not by rooftop. This is our assumption. Before, we are dealing with a lot of difficulties in dealing let's say, with the landlords for long-term right of usage because of the complication of the contracts. So for these reasons, our estimation starts from 10,000 euro per year in terms of fee. That is what the average that we already pay for the lands. So these are the parameters that you should include in your model. So 10,000, that if you translate it to the number of the amount of money that we will be paying, that should be in the range of 70,000 plus expenses for notai, frazionamenti, sorry for the Italian. You should consider that the 100 million means to be able to at the end of the period to have 15% of the site ownership on our perimeter based on acquisitions, property of lands, or long-term right of usage. And the impact of those acquisition, that you can see is around 1,500, means a saving that is if you consider the 10,000 per year, that is, let's say, 15 million. Let's consider that when we say the end of 2018, we are considering just 50% of the land acquisition that we will be doing in 2018. I think that this can reconcile your maths. I'm doing your job now.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Harry Kerst of Credit Suisse. Mr. S, please.
Yeah, thanks very much. I just had a question I had a couple of questions, actually. The first question is on the new tenants other than TI, so the 150 you added in Q4. If you could give any color on that, are those all mobile operators, and how many of those are relating to the TI site sharing agreement? and if you got any other kind of WiMAX customers included in that as well. The other question I had was on the marketable 130 marketable sites. If you're, I mean, it sounds like you're kind of happy if you find one tenant on each of those and you kind of cover your cost. Is that how I should think about it, or do you expect to be able to reach similar tenancy ratios as you got on the rest of your portfolio? And then just finally, would be quite interested in hearing your latest thoughts about any change in electromagnetic emission regulation in Italy. That was it. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Starting from new tenants, the majority of the new tenants in 2015 has been released by the obligation of Telecom Italia, so the heritage of the sharing agreements of Telecom Italia. But the commercial activity that we started in 2015 is giving very promising results. So we have been able to receive a lot of interest from the operators and other radio player. In this moment in Italy, there is an expansion policy of the wireless local loop operators. There is also the first Internet of Things operator, Sigfox, that is deploying its capillary networks in Italy. So all in all, we do believe that even the no contracted increase will be relevant in our tenancy growth. I don't know if you have a more specific element, we can come back on that. The second question was about the marketable. Let me say what is our internal process about this point. So when we receive from Telecom Italia the name of the sites that has to be decommissioned and dismantled, what we do is first to see if on those sites we already have additional tenants. Second, if some of those sites are in strategic position. So the combination of those two components, so sites with other tenants and sites that we consider strategic, is what we define marketable sites. At this point, we have a specific parameters, that is revenue and cost. So some time in order to be able to balance the revenues with cost. And the possibility is first to get new tenants or increase the fees to the current tenants. But there is also an alternative option. So to go to the landlord and say, look, I have to dismantle these sites. The only possibility is to transform the contract and to pay just 50% of what we are paying right now. So it's a very, very, cherry-picking approach where we, site by site, every month, I would say every week, we decide to keep this site on the marketable cluster or to transfer it to the sites to be decommissioned and dismantled. The third question was about the electromagnetic emission. So, no news from what we have been saying during the IPO. So, when we started our IPO, the Italian government had just come out with a statement in the strategic project for ultrabroadband in Italy that in Italy they wanted to realign the electromagnetic emission star limit with the European ones. I was saying to the investors that I was pessimistic on that, because the electromagnetic limit had been set in 2001, and we as operators have been struggling many years in order to get a change without success. Now we have, let's say, I continue to be pessimistic, but with, let's say, a small optimism about something that is new. The ICNRP, that is the institution, the European institution, that in 1998 determined the recommendations for the limit in the electromagnetic pollution, and the recommendation that these institutions, let's say, gave in 1998 are exactly the electromagnetic limit adopted by Spain, France, Germany, UK. So these institutions say that in May 2016, they will come out with an update of this recommendation. As soon as the new recommendation or the update of the recommendation comes out, at this point, all the countries, all the European countries, have 90 days to present objections, proposal, and so on. And after 90 days, those recommendations will become operative. So at this point, I see the possibility for the Italian government to go through a shortcut. So instead of dealing with the environmentalist association, with the local municipalities, and so on, there is the possibility to say, look, as soon as the recommendation comes out, we will adopt it. That is exactly what the other countries did in the past, and Italy did not. So for this reason, I continue to be pessimistic, but let's say some, let's say more likelihood I have to say that could be in place.
That's great. Thanks very much. I just wondering on the first question. So of the 150 in Q4, if you can give a number, how many of those are not coming from the TI commitment of the new tenants?
I would say that I was telling you that in 2015 the contribution from the already existing sharing agreement is the main one. But around 100 contract comes from operator that on market activities that we have been running out, and this is the reason why we feel optimistic about the possibility to overcome the numbers ensured by Telecom Italia.
Great, thanks very much.
The last today's question comes from Mr. Fabio of Mediobanca. Mr. Pavan, please.
Sorry again, and just have three follow-up very quickly. First of all, we're looking beyond 2018. I was wondering that, in your view, 2x co-tenancy ratio remains for our country a limit with or without consolidation, or do you believe that this is a limit that in the future may be exceeded? Second question on land acquisition. You are targeting 1,500 sites as potential available for such a process. What could be, let's say, a blue sky scenario? How many sites would be available for such a process? And last question is on the leverage ratio. After the exercise you did for the business plan, what kind of net debt on EBITDA ratio do you believe it would be the fair one for a company like INWIT? Thank you.
Fabio, the answer to your first question is I think is related with additional items, but mainly to the electromagnetic limit. So with the current legislation, our best estimate is that in 60% of our sites, we can host maximum two tenants. So without changes, this continue to be, let's say, the number. it's likely to say, to forecast, that even after 2018, Italy will remain the only countries in Europe with this limit. I would say that is not likely. But having said that, we have to see what will going on in that area. The second is about the target, the addressable target, where we see the possibility to conclude 1,500 acquisition. So to that extent, we started in August by targeting 100% of the landlord, of the owner of the lands. So we wrote a letter to the landlords showing our, let's say, willingness to buy the lands, and also threatening that in case of lands aggregator, you are familiar with the American tower market and you understand what I'm talking about. The first signal of potential lands aggregator in Italy were coming out. So we say that in case of intention to sell the site, the land to someone else, we would be considering the possibility to move our staff. So to that extent, we received a couple of thousand of interest. And let's say that after all the negotiation, we have been able to conclude our 82 negotiations within December 2015. So we will be targeting 100% of our sites, not less than that. So in order to get this ambitious goal to transform the ownership of 15% of our sites in scope, we should be considering all 100% of the possibility. Of course, we exclude the 2,400 sites that are that we lease from Telecom Italia to that extent. second, about the financial flexibility. As we said during the IPO, we confirm that even with this plan, we will be conserving our financial flexibility. So I think that you will be very, very easily in doing the maths. But at the end of the plan, we will continue to have a relevant financial flexibility. So to that extent, if we exclude, I think that, no, I'm sure that will be lower than 1x the EBITDA. So having said that, I continue to say that either we were involved in M&A transaction, whatever they will be, or, as I say, at a certain point, we will be considering the possibility to releverage the company through a distribution of an extraordinary dividend.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for...
Thank you, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is over. Thank you for calling. Thanks.